Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the Dick Clark Show of Free Speech. Dick Clark, what was the name of his show? It was like Bandstands, American Bandstand, that's what it was. And so just like with American Bandstand, you know, Dick Clark, he was considered America's oldest teenager because he was like 87 or something, but he was still a teenager. And that's what we're like somehow. You just connect the dots. You're all capable of doing it. And while you're connecting those dots, send us badly needed fundage, because we need fundage and we need it badly. So how do they send the badly needed fundage, Jeremy?
Mailing a check or money order payable to RBN, to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And you can call in your debit or credit card to Julie on the day shift, and she will take your money.
She will take your money with extreme prejudice.
Yes.
Okay. And what else you can do with extreme prejudice? Well, you can download the Kosherified app. How do you do that? You go to nationalbugle.com, and you'll see the link. It's very prominent. Download that app and start leading a kosher, non-kosher certified lifestyle. Unless you want to be kosher, it'll help you with that too, because it'll help you avoid non-kosher certified foods, if that's what you choose. And it's all about choice. You know what else is all about choice, Jeremy?
What is that?
Getting gay with the monkeypox.
Ooh.
You can choose not to get gay with the monkeypox.
We were really trying to keep it classy last night as we covered the CNBC article about the monkeypox sounding an alarm for the gay and bisexual men as it spreads in their community. Talking about how that was very similar to the early AIDS breakout in 1982. So, yeah, it's, I think we were right in the middle of this, just picking up, talking about John Brooks, a CDC official, emphasized that anyone can get the so-called monkeypox virus with close personal contact, regardless of their sexual orientation. However, they're noticing it really prominent in the gay and bisexual community. So it says, we want to help people make the best informed decisions to protect their health and the health of their community. Monkeypox is not a sexually transmitted disease. They're emphasizing that, which is generally passed through semen or vaginal fluid, but it can be transmitted through sexual intimate contact as well as through shared bedding. I guess that makes sense if you have sores breaking out. But what makes the sores break out, right? Isn't that whatever they're calling a virus, isn't that what the person gets that makes them break out? Sort of like, what'd they compare it to?
Smallpox.
Yeah, smallpox.
Yes, yeah, so smallpox. Break open. Yeah, I mean, you would get these giant blistery, pussy pustules around all over your body. And George Washington apparently had it, and so he had pock marks on his face. If you survived, you would have pock marks. You'd have scarring. Smallpox had a very, very high fatality rate, but you weren't being killed by the pox per se. That was just one symptom. There are other symptoms that I don't know if they're respiratory or what, but they would wind up killing you. And so, and it wasn't spread from skin to skin per se. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about the biological details of smallpox and the monkeypox. I know hardly anything about other than having just seen a couple of pictures. But supposedly, it's not that serious. And until now, it hasn't been that transmissible. Now, I heard a report about the Wuhan lab having experimented with monkeypox. And, you know, the whole Wuhan lab thing, I mean, there's a lab in Wuhan, and there is it has been the recipient of a certain amount of funding from Dr. Fauci. But I've always been of the opinion that this was neither an intentional nor unintentional leak or release from the Wuhan lab. To the extent that the coronavirus, the deadly coronavirus, is man-made, the most logical explanation to me would be that Fauci and his cohorts released it themselves around Wuhan because they would have the perfect cover. If the intention was to get this biologically or artificially altered virus out into the, release it into the world, why wouldn't you want to release it in Wuhan, where you know certain types of research are going on because you're actually funding them? It's a perfect cover. And of course, there had been the military games, the military Olympic games that had been held in Wuhan just prior to the discovery of this virus. So it would be a perfect cover.
Charles Lieber, also the Jewish professor from Harvard, participating in the Thousand Talents program, who went from the United States to Wuhan just before this outbreak of COVID. Yeah. So you've got that, and they got rid of Charles Lieber pretty quick.
And then Ron Unz has pointed out that the I'm not saying I necessarily go along with Ron Unz, because Ron Unz seems to think that this was a biological attack on China and Iran, because Iran was the second place. And it wasn't Tehran so much, but some holy city in Iran that was hit. And I guess it was hit at a time when a lot of political leaders were there. So the very, very early victims of the coronavirus were people in Wuhan, but then also people in the Iranian leadership. And it's not as if there's a lot of traffic between Wuhan and Qom or whatever this Iranian city is. It seemed kind of weird. It seemed like it would have to be released intentionally in those two places. But Ron Unz seems to think that this was a biological weapon that wasn't meant to become a worldwide pandemic, but it did. He's got his own reasons, but I'm just bringing that up.
You were talking about the monkeypox and the transmission. Right here in the middle of the article, from talking about the CDC and Dr. John Brooks. Brooks added, it's important for individuals and physicians to be aware of the symptoms associated with monkeypox, particularly anal or genital lesions that can be confused with herpes, syphilis, or chickenpox. Now, this right on the heels of him saying in the previous paragraph that it wasn't sexually transmitted per se, but yet he adds this. Quoting Brooks, anyone with a rash or lesion around or involving their genitals or anus or any other place that they have not seen it before should be fully evaluated, both for that rash, but particularly for sexually transmitted infection and other illnesses that can cause rash. I think we're seeing a picture here from their own admittance why this is amongst the homosexual community. Lesions in the anus, and we know, you know, what the sodomites do.
Mm.
So it's kind of getting clear to see why this is prevalent in their community.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, if gayness, if it was like strictly genetic, because gay people have a disadvantage in reproduction, you would expect whatever gene caused gayness to disappear from the population.
Yeah.
Now there's
excellent point.
Yeah, there's a different way people can be born with something strictly than genetics, and there is some thought that the brain undergoes these stages of development in the fetus during
during the pregnancy, and that certain traumas, emotional or physical traumas to the mother at the developmental stage when gender is starting to be expressed, at least being expressed, in the emotional system or something, that this could cause people to be born, because most people probably know somebody who really did seem to be born that way, who just as a toddler or a small kid was just very effeminate if they were a boy, or maybe very masculine if they were a girl. And it almost seems to be hardwired. I would say that is a very, very small percentage of the population. And what we're seeing now, of course, is this epidemic of gayness, which could not be explained in anything other than a change in societal norms. And you've got homosexuality being not just completely normalized, but celebrated, right? We've got to celebrate pride. We're celebrating. And there are incentives in place. Especially if you're white, the only way that you can register on the victimization totem pole to get a place on it is to be gay. And so there's all this incentivization of gayness. And yeah. So is it a wonder that we're seeing a lot more gayness, and supposedly you've got 15% of elementary school kids now not going beyond gayness to gender dysphoria. And then B, would you be surprised to have some, a new plague of sexually transmitted diseases?
Yeah, you've explained the social situation very well. Let's go into the perfect storm of, the soy and all of the hormones and the foods and the like affecting the children. And, we even get into this baby formula. And that's sort of been a thing that we've kind of not focused on ever before. As we look at the baby formula shortages, a lot of people have looked into the contents of the baby formula and how it has a lot of bad stuff in it. There's a lot of soy. Maybe this is the perfect storm in the last 25 years to 30 years of explaining, this homosexual trend among millennials and especially Zoomers, of their nutrition, vaccines and whatnot, and also of the social, just society as a whole pushing this on them, so that you get, young teenagers who normally wouldn't go that route, but they think that gay, bisexual, transgender is like, it's a thing, it's like a trend. And so they try it. Maybe they experiment with it. And this at a stage of development that's crucial, between 10 years old and 18 years old, a very crucial stage of development for boys and girls. And so you have all of the horrible nutrition combined with the so-called society pushing this, and you get the perfect storm of more people identifying as LGBTQP+. And then you get this, sexually transmitted disease that apparently they're saying it's not sexually transmitted, but yet they're saying it's prevalent among homosexuals. And they're describing where the lesions occur. So, yeah, I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if it's prevalent among homosexuals and it's not sexually transmitted, what is it? Is the virus attracted to Donna Summers and the Village People? I mean, what is it? How would
it's yeah.
And then I just have to say that it's not only homosexuals who like Donna Summers' music.
Oh no! Back in the day, a lot of cool dudes were into Donna Summers.
just to be clear, I really wasn't into Donna Summer, but she was having a concert, and I had a hot date, and so you know, it's like, okay. And you know who was there? This is a true story. It was Sugar Ray Leonard.
Oh,
he was there. He was absolutely there. And
did you get me too'd by somebody?
You'd think he'd be taller.
Didn't you get me too'd by somebody at that Donna Summers concert?
I got me too'd, and you know, was it Kirsten Gillibrand or Chlamydia Harris? I don't know, because like people say that they're different races, and people say that I don't see race because I'm a boomer. People say Kirsten Gillibrand's white, and I tend to believe them because she disappears in the cream cheese section of the supermarket. She just kind of disappears in the background. And they say Chlamydia Harris is an Aborigine, and I tend to believe them because her father is from Jamaica and her mother's from India, and I think that's how you make Aborigines. But I don't know. And, you know, somebody came up to me and said, hey, sailor, want to have a good time? And I said, I'm already having a good time. So.
But, yeah, I mean, even growing up in the 80s, like, you know, we were exposed to MTV and this androgynous thing, you know, like you had bands like the Human League, who sounded real cool on the radio. And then when you saw them on MTV, like the dudes were wearing more makeup than the chicks. And the chicks had their hair cropped and like had suit pants on and stuff like that. I mean, you had Boy George, Twisted Sister. I mean, it was all kind of like, you know, our mentality was like, oh, that's just rock and roll. I mean, we're not like that. I mean, we'll listen to their music. But that really, I mean, was a slippery slope. And it, you know, it bled into normalizing this gender bending society that we have now. We're now, even parents are pushing transgenderism on young kids. So I think it's a total, you know, it's a perfect storm. Like I was mentioning, the social aspect and the huge amounts of soy in the children's so-called nutrition. And just this whole disconnect with their fathers, male and female, you know, the absentee father, that's been a thing with, it bled from the black community over into the white since the 90s.
Well, and here's something else. What about absentee mothers? Because they're in the workforce.
True. True, you've got that. And the child is raised by babysitters who may or may not be pedophiles. I mean, it's it really is a bad situation.
Or raised by the TV set, the electronic babysitter.
Yeah.
Who definitely.
What, how many times? How many times have you seen parents just, you know, shove a cell phone into their five-year-old's hand just to get them to shut up?
Yep.
You know, stuff like that. So this could explain the whole phenomenon of homosexuality and gun violence at school amongst the millennials and Zoomers. Could be a blanket explanation. But back to monkeypox. This thing seems totally astroturfed, and they're going to try to make a big deal of it. Maybe they'll bring it back for the elections, the midterms in 22 in the fall.
Vote by mail.
Speaking of it being astroturfed, and maybe
speaking of it, I think we're going to have to speak of it after the break.
Right.
To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given you a number. Hadn't checked.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher-certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Asian men, they've given you a number, and they've taken away your name.
And we are back. So you were speaking of something before the break.
Monkeypox being astroturfed. I caught the headline on Mike Rivera yesterday in his great show where I get a lot of my prep from, quite honestly. But I looked it up, and sure enough, from Newsweek, newsweek.com, there was a report simulating a deadly monkeypox outbreak that was released 6 months ago. And this article is dated today, or it was dated yesterday on the 24th. But apparently the simulation happened in 2021 in the spring, and they released the report 6 months ago. All right. So last year, current and former world leaders joined experts to conduct a tabletop exercise simulating a deadly monkeypox outbreak. And now the results of that exercise are attracting fresh attention, with monkeypox making headlines after cases were reported in a dozen countries, including the U.S., U.K., and Australia, in a surprising outbreak of a disease that rarely appears outside of Africa. So this is reminiscent of me, of the Event 201. Remember that? Event 201 exercise in the fall of 2019, simulating a corona outbreak. So
okay.
What's going on here, Patrick? I mean, I don't want to say there's a plan, but maybe there's a plan. What say
yeah.
you?
You know, Right. I mean, the most charitable thing to say is they had reasons to suspect something would happen, and it happened. I don't know. The thing is, even whether this, you know, to what extent this was all planned out, and it's hard to deny that there wasn't to some extent, you know, something going on. The most important thing is that we're governed by a hostile elite, that our elites are, I want to avoid saying they're at war with us, because I don't want to be too hyperbolic, but that they have a very hostile view towards us, and they don't have our interests at heart. I mean, you just can't get around it.
I don't think it would be hyperbolic at all. But go ahead and finish your point.
Yeah, I know it's not hyperbolic. I just, as a kind of like a lifelong peace activist, I just don't like using war terminology for these things. But it gets really, really, really hard to avoid because of you know, how draconian things are. I mean, just think of the lockdowns that we experienced over what is pretty much a mild virus. And, you know, to the extent, you know, some people want to say there's not a virus, people want to say it's just the flu or whatever. But, you know, at most, it was a novel coronavirus that was hard on a few easily identifiable groups, but mild to everybody else. That's the most you could say about it. And if that's the case, then take measures to protect those who are vulnerable, and then allow it to spread rapidly through the rest of the population, so that the population as a whole gets that herd immunity, and then the vulnerable people they only have to be in hiding for a short period of time instead of forever.
Well, yeah, but that's obviously not what they wanted. I mean, obviously they wanted to destroy the economy and people's lives. And it's like one thing after another. I believe that – I don't think it's hyperbolic. I think they are hostile towards us and they are at war with us. Let's just run down the timeline. You know, you had the Bush entity taking us into an unnecessary wars in the Middle East, lying to us about, you know, 9/11.
Yeah, those were the good old days, weren't they?
The good old days, yeah. And then implementing the Patriot Act to come down on, you know, the American populace and to eventually be turned against whites. You had that. On the heels of that, you had Obama coming in, the Obama entity, and his whole gay marriage and tranny push, and basically open borders. The response to that was the American people elected Trump, and supposedly an outsider who they brought to heel rather quickly. And then for his second term, when he maybe could have been more potent, they hoaxed the election. You know, this just before they locked us all down over the flu and let Black Lives Matter riot and burn down American cities and abolish, tell us that we need to abolish the police. That's the answer. So, and then what next? What next? Hey, you know, let's threaten Russia with NATO and nukes, and then when Russia, you know, does a military intervention, let's do sanctions that destroy the West and don't really hurt Russia. I mean, it does really seem like they're at war with us. I don't think that's hyperbolic at all.
Yeah, I know it's. I just don't like using that terminology. But we're at the break. We'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, we're back, and disregarding the hostile elites, and you know, to what level are, you know, you look at TV and you see these politicians, governors or cabinet members or whatever, and you see these people, and I think there's kind of a natural tendency to think that they are all they know exactly what's going on. They really know the score, and through threats or through bribes or whatever, they're doing their thing, but they know exactly what's going on. And I think there are like implicit threats and indirect bribes and sometimes direct bribes and things like that. There is some of that stuff, but here's one point I want to make before getting back to the flus. I've over the course of my life, I've talked to a whole bunch of politicians, senators, members of Congress, members of foreign parliaments, you know, journalists at important news organizations or professors or whatnot. And honestly, you know, these are people who are in the elite. They're in the ruling elite. And I, you know, they are above average intelligence, but so are RBN listeners. So are conspiracy theorists. And, you know, the thing is, I don't think that the people running countries and running societies, that, you know, they may be above average, but these aren't like super brilliant people. And, you know from your Facebook friends, you've got lots of above average friends who completely buy into these hoaxes. And yep. I think that you look around, let's just say North Korea, because all of a sudden North Korea's got they had not been going along with the coronavirus stuff, but all of a sudden they're having some sort of coronavirus, and you see Kim Jong-un walking into a meeting and everybody's wearing masks all of a sudden. And does that mean that they were just suddenly instructed by the CIA to start doing this, or that they really don't know what's going on any more than your friends on Facebook knows what's going on? And I'm of the opinion that people who are running governments and running bureaucracies really don't know the score very well. And I don't even think that there's really some grandmaster central government conspiracy thing. But I think there are people who are pushing, you know, one aspect or another aspect of what people might want to call the New World Order or conspiracies or whatever. I really don't even think it's that centralized. But I think there are people who are successfully pushing certain things, you know, like the coronavirus hoax. And that the best way – well, I mean, everybody knows the way the avenue I take to understand things is just looking at Jewish behavior and Jewish self-perceived group interests, and that explains more than anything else. I'm just throwing that out there.
Jeremy, I agree with you on the lower level elite. Your Bidens, your Harris's, your Victoria Nuland.
It's funny that the president of the United States is lower level, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I mean he's even lower than lower level. I don't think he really knows you know, where he ate lunch last. I just don't think he – but, like, you take even Blinken and Nuland, who seem to be running at least the foreign policy. I mean, even they're operating, you know, with limited information. But I'm just going off of what I've observed for 2 years, Patrick, is that the entire West just was all on board with everything, not only COVID lockdowns but Black Lives Matter. Remember when Pelosi led a group of politicians and they were wearing masks – and they were wearing like African garb and they knelt down in reverence of George Floyd. I mean,
in one of the halls of the Capitol.
And so you're making a very good case that not necessarily maybe were they given orders, but they're just brainwashed. They really believe that. And sure, I'll go with that. But what I'm making the case for is that there are some elites above them that we don't know about, probably Jewish dominated, since the majority of policies globe wide. Seem to benefit, you know, Jews and the diaspora as well as Israel. And there seem to be a group of elites that are like sending out emails to get these people to do these bizarre things that are totally against their constituents, completely against their constituents. Nobody, I mean, Democrat or Republican, the majority of them didn't go along with this stuff. You know, you had the fringe portion that did, but they're willing to risk not being reelected to go along with all of this. I don't know. That's where I'm coming from on it. But
and there are obviously when you like Tucker shows this from time to time, he'll show these people on CNN and MSNBC and ABC News, and they're all using the exact same terminology.
And Rush Limbaugh used to do that. Rush Limbaugh used to put out like media, you know, like. It was like a recording of multiple media heads from different media organizations saying the same thing.
Yeah. And, you know, when it gets to that point, the Democratic National Committee or somewhere is, you know, they have email lists. They send stuff out. I mean, we're on email lists. I get, what is it, Alan Knutson or whatever, somebody like that, and like I don't know how I got on this list, but you know I get on lists sometimes. I usually remove myself, but so that type of thing exists. But what I'm talking about, which I think people tend to overlook, is you know you've ever looked up in the sky and you see a flock of birds and you see how they will move almost in unison, and they're not sending out emails. This is just like some sort of really ingrained group behavior. And I think there's a big element of that. In general, But I think it's probably stronger amongst Jews, because I think Jews are genetically predisposed towards the kind of ethnocentrism that makes that type of behavior possible.
But even among Jewish elites, and you know, if we picture this group of elites above our governing officials, like sending out emails, they're disagreeing with each other.
They are.
And you can see, you know, you can see the dissonance in, you know, the Russian oligarchs having their assets seized, you know, the Jewish Russian oligarchs, and fleeing Russia to Israel. I mean, obviously there was some kind of disconnect there, and how, you know, Israel is not on board with this whole against Russia thing, but the diaspora Jews in America are. I mean, there's obviously a huge disagreement. They're not all powerful.
Yeah, and the, you know, the Israeli Jews might be in the process of switching their position on that, but certainly that's how it seemed early on this year.
And I just wanted to mention one more thing before we get off the topic of flu. And this is in the, you know, in my observation of things sort of working, it appears to be as a plan, but probably not so much. But deadly avian flu sends egg prices soaring, CNN Business. So I've got a lot of good friends in West Kentucky that are chicken farmers. And, you know, they'll take in all these chickens and they'll have three or four barns. And that's how they make their money. I mean, they'll make six digits on these chickens. And it's sort of a substitute since the tire factories are gone and you can't really make money in tobacco like you could 20 years ago. And because of this avian flu, like millions and millions of chickens have been destroyed just from these stupid PCR tests that they'll give. First of all, the cost of eggs have doubled. That's what this article points out. I'm not going to read it word for word. I'm just going to hit the highlights here. There was one farm. Here we go. In Iowa, the nation's leading egg producer, we have more than a dozen sites impacted by the disease, the bird flu, including three facilities where hens lay eggs. This according to Chloe Carson. Anyway, we have had to depopulate 11.2 million laying hens out of 56 million. So that's over 20%, or right about 20% in this one facility killed because of a stupid random PCR test. And you know they didn't PCR test 11 million chickens. They just randomly did it. And they said, oh, this one's got the bird flu. We got to destroy like this many chickens. I mean,
look at all those chickens.
This, in light of the, you know, the fertilizer and the grain situation, because the West has decided to sanction Russia and shoot itself in the liver, you know, it's like these elites are saying, well, let's just heighten this situation. Let's just accelerate it even more, you know, by making poultry double and eggs double in price or even triple. So I'm just throwing that out there. The food shortages in conjunction with COVID and the sanctions on Russia and the Black Lives Matter riots and all of the other things. Yes, the elites are at war with us.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, the elites in the 1990s were at war with the Russian people. And, you know, the Jewish elites, the Jewish oligarchs, and they went too far. And, you know, Russia in 2001 or whatever isn't going to go on the list of countries that kicked out Jews, that kicked the Jews out. But, there was this giant backlash against Jewish power. And what we're seeing going on here, because the thing is, what people have to understand is that Jews aren't always getting their way, right? They're not. And I think a lot of the master plan type of stuff, a lot of these people seem to develop this worldview that there's nothing that we can do, that everything is control, that we're living in a giant Truman Show. Yeah. But, you know, you look, they had a massive setback in Russia, and now they've gone way too far here, and there's this backlash brewing, and, you know, they may desperately try to fake the elections, but I don't think the, especially the House of Representatives election, is nearly as fakeable as the presidential election was 2 years ago, especially seeing as people are onto it. And, you know, there's going to be a giant pushback, And I don't know what's going to happen with the United States. President Trump is saying he doesn't even know if there's going to be a country in 2024. And I don't know what's going to happen, but the idea that they're always going to be getting their way, no, I mean, they don't always get their way. There's a lot of back and forth going on, and anything could happen at this point. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to give an example of your point. You know, everybody's talking about Biden signing over this treaty to the World Health Organization, how the World Health Organization wants nations to sign treaties to give it full autonomy, you know, with virus breakouts. Well, Kentucky's not going along with that. I'll tell you that right now. We've passed all kinds of legislation that limits the governor's power and that, you know, stops mask mandates and that holds churches as essential and not able to be closed in a pandemic. A lot of these states just aren't going along with it, and you're going to see you're seeing a huge pushback, and that's, you know, the disintegration of the federal government in America. I think that's what you're going to see. So no, these people are not all powerful, and people
they're
are pushing back powerful. At the legislature.
They're not all
level.
Knowing. They're not all knowing. Yeah.
Yep.
And you know, one thing we got to add to this is the whole Ukraine thing. You know, people nowadays are always saying, "Yeah, we got lied our way into the Iraq war and Saddam's weapons of mass destruction." That's a big meme. Well, we're going to have the same thing with Ukraine, but this is going to be a massive humiliation. The Russians, not only are they winning militarily, they're winning economically, and their currency is very strong. Apparently, it's getting so strong that the Russian central bank is selling off rubles and buying foreign currency to keep it from strengthening too much. And their economy is doing better than our economy. And people might say, well, yeah, but they've got a smaller economy. And, you know, how could this happen? Well, yeah, but they're allied economically with China, which has an economy our size. They've got India. They've got, you know, these other Asian countries, Pakistan and Indonesia, and they're doing just fine, and they're going to do just fine. And we're going into inflation, and there's probably going to be a lot of unemployment and food shortages and things like that. That is going to completely destabilize our country. And you know, people might say, yeah, well, that's all part of the plan. Well, we'll see. I think there's going to be a giant backlash, and I don't know what's going to come out of this. But I don't think that if you were to go back to 2015, that the goals – I think the Jewish power elite here thought that they were just going to be able to ride a very smooth tide of, you know, steady – steady little victories, you know, legalizing gay marriage and then the next thing and the next thing. And they're just going to ride it all the way to the point of no return, where whites are just going to be, you know, say less than 30% of the population, and they'll just be permanently on top. I don't think that their plans in 2015 was to have the kind of chaos that we're having now, because there's a lot of risk for them with all this chaos.
And then, you know, they have to have the ability as a military strategist to adjust for backlashes. And I don't think they have that ability, you know.
Yeah. And they're not big in the they're not big in the military. They're big in the State Department. They're big in academia. They're big in the media. They're big in a lot of institutions. You know, we have our military is subordinate to political leadership, but they're not big in the military. And Al Franken used to joke that the highest ranking Jew in the American military was some like obscure person, like the Surgeon General of the Air Force or something like that. They're not big in the American military.
You know, I'm comparing military strategy to political strategy, and I think it's an apt comparison. You can even go like into martial arts. Like, you can learn forms of a particular discipline, and you can master those forms. But until you fight somebody, whether it's in the dojo or in the street, like, you've got to be able to adapt and use those forms and, you know, manipulate them. And you may not do them exactly the correct way in the actual fight. And they don't have that ability. They don't have that ability to respond to what they're getting right now. And I mean, one case in point, I had an article I sent you. We don't have to get too far into it, but you know, Biden did a gaffe on how high gas prices are. You know, Americans have to go through this change. You know, because we want to transition to non-fossil fuels. And so he pretty much just put that out there. But I just don't think Americans are going to go along with that. Like when the gas price hits so high, something's going to break.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right. Well, we're at the break. We will be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Back and just continuing on what you were saying. So, yeah, I know what Biden is saying. I know what the Biden is saying. And as long as you have really, really cheap gas, then you're not going to it's going to be harder to develop, say, hydrogen technologies or other technologies that would supplant the gas. Because why? If gas gets really, really high, then the these other technologies, electricity or hydrogen or whatever, become more competitive. And so, you know, that's not in and of itself an evil thing to say. But Americans are extremely dependent on their cars, and also the country is completely destabilized from all sorts of things. And then to inject a doubling of gas prices all of a sudden, when people are already reeling from all of these hoaxes and social changes, people aren't going to buy that. And so, you know, if you're just looking at it from a purely academic point of view, emphasizing the environment and, you know, economic rationality or whatever, you could say what Biden said. And it's, you know, it's not like an evil thing to say. But in the context of people's actual lives, it makes no sense to talk like that or even think like that right now. I mean, I'm an environmentalist. I would like to see a transition away from fossil fuels towards these things. But we've got bigger fish to fry. You know,
well, I'm open for that too. And as you mentioned, like, their response is not a legitimate response. Well, here's higher gas prices. You know, you might get double digits on a gallon of gas. Just deal with it. Mm-hmm. When really what they should do, okay, quit sanctioning Russia, quit pouring money into the Ukraine, open the Keystone Pipeline. Biden could do that with a stroke of a pen, right? And in the meantime, while we ease gas prices with the opening of the pipeline, let's transition over into something better for the environment, you know, over time. That's what they could do, but they're not. Instead, they're just saying deal with it because of Ukraine, because of, you know, environmentalism. So they're totally out of touch.
They are.
These elite are totally out of touch with the American public because we're suffering. We're hurting. There's people it's costing them to go to work.
Is to make people suffer so that they'll be willing to change or something like that. Whatever it is, it's not working. In fact, it's having the opposite effect. And as somebody who, you know, I have been like an environmentalist my whole life, and to see environmentalism justifiably associated with these disasters, the environmental movement has been completely hijacked, and now it's what once was a good name, I think, has been completely ruined, and a lot of things that I would have liked to see happen sooner, there's no point in even pushing them now because they've been associated with, it was one thing when environmentalism was associated with Ralph Nader, but when it's associated with Bill Gates, come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, we're at the end of the show, Jeremy. I want to thank you for joining me.
Time flies. I hope you will stay classy, as RBN will.
It's a struggle, but I do my best.
Yes.
Yeah. And I will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness. But there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
RBN, John Stadtmiller's Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org.